It's him. Absolutely him. All right. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Chop Sports Daily here on a Tuesday, September the 7th, 2021. Your host, Sturch and Gooch. It says it right there on your screen because, I mean, we're just upgrade city every single day. We're trying. Okay, yeah. Great. Just interrupting. Anyway.
So what was I saying? Oh, yeah. I don't like the Sturch and Gooch. I want to put our Instagram handle or our Twitter handle up there.
Oh, yeah. That would be a better idea.
Bink, bink, boom.
Done. Good. Easy does it. So what's going on, everybody? It is a Tuesday here at the Chop Sports Studios. And, of course, lots to talk about. Little NFL news and nuggets going on here. We're 2 days away, man. It just feels real. It feels like it's right there. I've been seeing a lot of hype videos and stuff starting to come out for NBC. So last night I'm watching it. There was one hype video that came on and it stopped. And I was just like looking at the screen, like dead looking at the screen. And I'm like, yeah, I don't feel so good. Like, I don't want to play Tampa now. I don't want to play him at all.
Yeah, but Ndamukong Suh is back off the COVID protocol.
Yeah, and of course we got our best right guard right now, who is now iffy, not ruled out. He's iffy. The protocols are, if you can test negative 2 days in a row and show no symptoms, you're cleared. So he tested positive technically. I believe that was announced on Sunday. He could have tested positive on Saturday. I don't know. But he needs like a Monday, Tuesday, or a Tuesday, Wednesday to go his way. And then we'll get our all-pro right guard back. So we'll see about that. But first and foremost, before we get into everything, I'd be remiss. And, of course, I do want to shout out my one very, very loyal supporter of mine, being my, well, I call her my bonus mom. I don't believe in the term stepmom when it comes to this woman, Barry, lost her mother yesterday. My bonus grandma, you can consider her, the Hurricane Lorraine, passed away yesterday. And I just want to give my thoughts and my love home to the family. And, you know, she sent me a really nice heartfelt text about how she was proud and this, that, and the third. I always said to her, I was like, I don't even know if she likes me, you know, like Lorraine, her mother, because she'd always call me an idiot. Just always like, idiot. You know, yeah. I'm just like, she has several Jesus. Points
yeah. All wrapped up into one.
Right. So I'm like, does she even like me? I'm not even sure. So a little heartfelt happenings in the Sturch family and Sturch household. So I'm dedicating today's show to the Hurricane Lorraine. So what do we got, AJ? We got some, you wrote down a couple things. Ravens heavy in the news because of yesterday.
Yes, sir. We got Mark Andrews. He got the extendo clip, $56 million, 4 years.
Now, is that, I don't know Travis Kelce's contract or George Kittle's, but is it anywhere near them?
No,
right?
No.
So this is literally telling you that you're not as good as them, but we're going to give you this. Like, stay with us. Like, I guess if you're good in 4 years, we can give you the big, big dog contract. But I guess Mark Andrews hasn't done enough statistically to be the highest paid.
It's a pretty solid contract.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's an extension. Why the fuck? I mean, come on. You know what I mean? Like, that's
and he is fairly one-dimensional. He can't block for shit. So him out there, he's essentially their number one target, their number one receiver. So he's not getting receiver money, but he's getting solid money for a tight end.
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, and like I said, he's serviceable. He's good. He's Lamar Jackson's guy. Like, he's, again, all these young quarterbacks, whether you're a scrambler or a pocket passer, when you're young, you like to look underneath. Mark Andrews is definitely the guy you're looking for underneath, and he's a playmaker. Catches a lot of touchdowns, so that's a big deal out of them. The other deal with the Ravens is that Justice Hill has been ruled out for the year. So not only do they lose J.K. Dobbins, now they lose Justice Hill. Gus Edwards, the Gus bus, his value just keeps going up in fantasy. But now, what do you do if you're the Ravens? I mean, they worked out Lev Bell. They worked out Devonta Freeman.
I think Justice Hill was moved down on the depth chart anyway. I think he's their third
He just
guy.
Never got a chance.
Was his Tyson? Is it Tyson Jackson?
Tyson Williams
is their number two.
Okay.
Late round flyer in fantasy drafts. If you guys haven't drafted yet.
Which tonight, by the way. Tonight, yeah, baby. Chop for the Sports.
Most of your drafts should have taken place by now. If not, you might have a couple guys out there. But yeah, Tyson Williams, you said?
Yeah.
Something to that effect.
Tyson Williams is a nice late round, 15th round pick. You're looking for a backup
or a handcuff.
I wouldn't call it a handcuff because if you have Gus Edwards, then it's a handcuff. But if you don't, it's still a guy that might come in there.
That's the only reason why
he's probably going to get 150 touches this year.
There's another interesting guy who just got signed, too, and that's Wayne Gallman Jr. to the Atlanta Falcons. personally, I think he's the best running back on the roster. So
wait, Gallman's with the Falcons behind Smith?
Behind Mike Davis.
Him so, too?
So yeah, so I know that Tuesday of next week we're gonna do the potential fantasy free agents.
Waiver wires, yeah.
Wayne Gallman is definitely a guy that you might want to consider if you're, I don't know about Atlanta's offensive line, but just on sheer opportunities and not believing in Mike Davis.
I did jump the gun and I picked up Lev Bell in the league just because I was just like, look, you never know. Like, no, don't drop do it. Him. Don't yeah, do what, it. Drop him.
Even if Le'Veon Bell lands on a team, what's he going to do? He was on the...
I don't know. If he's behind Gus Bus, then maybe he does do something.
I mean, last year he was on the Chiefs and he did shit.
And that was like the highest battle offense in the world.
Yeah, so, what's he really going to do?
All right, so hey, Mark, by the way, if you're listening, we're cutting him. We're getting rid of him. He's my partner over in Joe Angelo's league. Getting rid of Lev Bell. Wasted a roster spot on that clown. But staying in the running back department, James Robinson doing a good deed, right? All these numbers, I don't know how you guys feel. I know how like a old school guy like Jimmy Palumbo would probably feel.
Oh,
what?
By the way, Jimmy Palumbo, sorry. We apologize to all our loyal listeners out there because we dropped our episode 4 minutes late today on the live. And also to all the Jimmy Palumbo fans out there, you had to wait an extra 13 minutes today to get your podcast. Sorry, guys. It was a holiday. Jimmy, I apologize. It'll never happen again, bro.
So that's...
Fucking guy.
You know, it's funny. I was handling all the Jimmy stuff today. I was like, I'll handle this. It's no big deal. You know, and then all of a sudden I was like relaying everything to you and you're just like, you're just getting them started.
So, Jimmy, you want to come edit the podcast with me by all means, but
unbelievable. Unbelievable. So anyway, so James Robinson, and this is what I was alluding to. I was alluding to the fact that like these guys are changing all their numbers. You know what I mean? And I'm not in favor of this. I always said this in college in specific. When like the kickers are number 98, it drove me nuts. And I don't know why.
Love it.
I see. I don't.
It's like favorite punter in the whole world is number 98.
Anthony Pecorella. Yes?
What's up, Ant?
Yeah, boy. Yeah, no. The peck, man. He's booming him and busting him on Saturday. But yeah, no, these numbers are just weird. And I think Tom Brady said it where he's like, well, you know, I won't know who's coming. You know, it'll look weird when a number one is coming off the edge or whatever the case may be. I somewhat agree with him to an extent. Like when I think this all started with like the wide receivers wearing like lower numbers,
Tom,
like Beckham with 13.
Yeah, but Tom, like, he's in a different color jersey. It doesn't matter what number he is. He can be coming off the
edge. If you can't decipher this,
stop.
If you can't decipher this, Brady,
Tom.
Right. If Brady can't decipher the navy blue jerseys that the Dallas Cowboys will be wearing on Thursday, well, then that means you got to go to Absolute Eyewear and get your eyes checked.
It's a money thing with the NFL because every player that has any jersey out there, they have to buy out the inventory. So if you want to change your number, James Robinson, he probably doesn't have a huge inventory out there, so he doesn't have to spend much money, but a guy in a case where say a star player wants to change his number.
He has to
spend. Well, who?
Jalen Smith was.
I mean, I said star player.
Star player for the Dallas Cowboys. Where he's a fan favorite
out there. There's a lot of jerseys that
he had to buy. All, he literally spent six figures on the inventory.
And then what happens?
Which is asinine.
If you're a fan of a player and you bought his old jersey, right now he has a new number. You might want to get the new jersey. So it's just a money grab for the NFL. And why not? These guys want to show themselves. They're not allowed to taunt anymore. They at least should be able to wear the number they want.
Here are some of the notable names that are changing jersey numbers this year. We got Jalen Ramsey, Patrick Peterson, DJ Moore, Darius Slay.
Leonard DJ Moore Fournette. Changes number two.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, dude.
That's it's a number two. I think it's nice.
I love it.
Robert Woods is number two now. I love it. It's
maybe
tricky.
I'll keep Robert Woods on my roster now that he changed his number. Maybe it'll just turn into a touchdown
machine.
He's
gonna have a rebirth now.
Oh, all right. Well, then even that's better.
He changed his number for the amount of touchdowns he's going to score this year. He'll have 140 catches with two scores.
Oh, by the way, Jimmy Palumbo has been chiming in on Facebook, and he says that it's like saying sorry to LeBron, Jordan, Durant, or the Greek Freak. you can't apologize to those legends. You just have to do better. And you know what I mean? And we'll do better by him. The college stuff, it's just coming from Prime over in on Twitter right
Look,
now.
He says it. Right
I'm
there.
Old. These number I'm, changes let college have
best,
their thing.
Bro. Yeah, you're old, and that's the only reason why I don't like it. Dave, welcome aboard. You're old too.
I'm not. No, man. I it's not. I don't know, man. Like I said, maybe I'm old school in that regard, where like these kids started wearing these younger these smaller numbers, like as a wide receiver. When I grew up, if you were a receiver, you were number 80 something. You know what I mean? And like the one time it was an exception in my lifetime was like when Keyshawn Johnson was rocking 19. You were like, what? You know? And like to me, that was weird. I remember when I got the, I remember specifically, I don't know if you ever, you get to choose your number when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember I had to choose my number. I played center first. That was my first position. And I went to choose my number. And the guys, like the coach, Coach Ali, I'll never forget him for long as I live, my buddy Matt's dad. He's like, your offensive lineman? I said, yeah. He goes, one of the 50s. Pick one of the 50s. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Like, okay, I guess. But like in my head, when I look at the Cowboys back then, it was 70s, 60s.
Mr. You know, Ali must have just been old.
Maybe. Right?
Wasn't letting you pick the number. Fucking maybe. Archaic dinosaur rules.
I picked number 51 for Ken Norton Jr. That's why I did that. Because I was
starting center of the Fords Bearcats.
I was. Right? The starting center of the Fords Bearcats, number 51, Dave Sturcio. That was short-lived. I was toast after that. But yeah, the changing the numbers thing, it just kind of, like I said, it rubs me the wrong way, but it's not the end of the world. And I get some of these jerseys look really clean. But then again, if you're out there buying authentic jerseys, contact your nearest China salesman.
Wuhan special.
The Wuhan special. Don't be spending $300 on these authentic jerseys. It's irrelevant. I had my
Bart Starr with the mini numbers on it. That's when Jimmy started talking shit about our Packers and Cowboys
attire. Do you own any actual authentic jerseys? Any?
Like that I spent $200?
Yes.
No.
I do. I've owned one. No. It was actually a gift. It was gifted to me by some of the students at school where they all chipped in and bought me a Deion Sanders throwback Thanksgiving Day, all navy blue, white shoulder pads. A lot of the Cowboys fans don't like that.
The reason why I never liked the actual, I don't know how they do them now, but back in the day, if you got an authentic jersey, they made them for as if you had shoulder pads.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm already kind of small.
My buddy Dom has like a million game worn jerseys and he used to wear them out. And I'm just like, you look like it looks silly, you know, like the shoulders look like the 80s puffs. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you got to at least wear shoulder pads underneath. Just grab yourself shoulder pads at Modell's or something and come walking into the bar like that. That's a good look. Anyway, so what else we got, AJ?
Let's talk a little college football.
Oh, okay. Let's.
Yeah. So there was
another game last night to finish the week out.
There was a Monday night football game for college football. It was Ole Miss going against the Louisville Cardinals. Ole Miss was at home, and Lane Kiffin, the head coach, he missed the game. He was 300 miles away. He had COVID. He was not allowed to coach that game. What does Ole Miss do? They absolutely wiped the floor with Louisville, 43-24.
There was one run that's made its way over the Twitterverse. Was a truck stick Madden type run where I saw it. I'm like, that dude just flattened that mother.
Was that the AJ update?
What?
Was that the update, or do we still have one?
No, we're not doing an update anymore.
All right.
Oh, anymore. He's nixing his own update.
I think we did agree to that last week. Where we
I think it's just because like we were doing a lot of baseball talk, and like baseball wasn't... Like it is, we're getting into September.
We'll come up with a modified small segment for AJ where he kind of just interjects himself
for sure
into the show for where he could get a voice.
But yeah,
welcome,
of course.
AJ. We love you over there, bud.
Yeah, we missed you yesterday. And by missed you, I meant like I am the one who had to hit record. And that was the big thing. But yeah, so we got a lot of, to talk about as far as the at 32 teams in 32 days. We're finishing today. So we finished ahead of time because we stacked. Finished
32 teams in 26 days.
Yeah, we stacked a couple of the shows.
Backhanded the
yeah, so we're gonna finish up today with the Rams and the Seahawks. We'll get to them in a second. But AJ, the producer that he is, came up with a new segment of choice. In which, when we were sitting here in pre, he read the first tweet that he wanted to read, and I said, "Get that shit off the show."
I mean, like, I almost feel like we could read it now because we nixed it, so we can.
I just think it's too much. Like. I mean, we got, you know, Ferguson.
Not that one.
The one he pulled up, I still don't even know if it's appropriate, but I mean.
Oh, stop.
I think it's more appropriate.
So this is definitely more appropriate than the other one. 100%.
100% more appropriate. So now, AJ, what is this? What are we doing here?
So what I'm doing here is a little like who tweeted it. I was talking to Chris. We obviously got to have more tweets. I feel like a good string of three, maybe four tweets would be pretty nice.
I was going to rip you apart in real time and on the show, so now I can't do that.
Just because there's only one.
I said it to him, and I was like, fuck, I should have just said it on the show, and I still was planning on it, but I might. So go ahead.
Okay.
Jimmy also believes that Jimmy, by the way, Jimmy believes that AJ should edit his show going forward. But go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Palumbo. the tweet that we have on the docket from September 11, 2012. What if being discharged from the hospital isn't the best time to ask about a threesome? Then I'm fresh out of ideas. Who tweeted it?
Do you know this? Do you know the answer?
Do I know the answer? No.
Starting pitcher in baseball.
All right, hold on. Time out, man. Let me read the damn thing. I know he just read it, but I got to read it over. Well, if being discharged from the hospital isn't the best time to ask about a threesome, then I'm fresh out of ideas. Whew.
He pitched for the A's.
Come on. Oh, wait. This is definitely going to be get off my mound guy.
Dallas Braden?
No.
Ah, damn, that was him.
Is it Steven Muchacho?
No.
Do you even know who that is?
I don't know who that is.
Who the hell is Steven Muchacho?
Esteban Loaiza?
No.
He's the guy that got...
Dennis Eckersley.
I'll give you one more hint. This guy got absolutely drilled in the head by a ball, 120 miles per hour, got a concussion, and he tweeted this from the hospital.
So did it just happen? The guy who just got hit in the face?
No, 2012.
Oh, duh. Hello.
you were born in 2012?
I was born in 1999.
99. Jesus. But anyway.
Right, I don't know. Moving on. We don't know.
Oh, what
it's
is
Brandon
it?
McCarthy.
Oh, God.
Oh, really?
So random. AJ, we're going to have to work
seriously.
On this segment.
All right. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I can't wait to hear Jimmy's thoughts on this segment, by the way.
Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. But no good. You know, he says, nice to have production meetings for the live show. He said.
Live on the show.
Oh, he said Raleigh Fingers. You are wrong, Mr. Palumbo. Sorry. Anyway. So. I guess we're going to take a break and
I
then
think that segment was a fail.
Yeah, that abomination of a segment.
That has the whatchamacall all over it. The
edit button.
No, not the edit button. Price is Right thing. Like bum bum ba bum. Like you just kind of wow, no dice.
As the show falls deeper into the hole.
Into the abyss. All right. So we're going to preview the Rams and the Seahawks. But first, we got to pay some bills, check out some NIL merchandise. And when we come back, we'll finish up the NFC West, and then tomorrow, big show as far as the actual predictions for everything. So we'll be right back. What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I'm here to let you guys know about some new happenings with Joe Pizzamenti of Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. This time around, I want to bring you guys up to speed on some of the amazing health and wellness products. These products focus on providing happiness for people, bringing out the four happy hormones in our body. That right away makes me happy. These products aid weight loss, sleep, mental clarity, and energy, just to name a few. They have even created your morning coffee to get your day started off right. That's not all, guys. Joe is in the giving mood, so now if you mention Shop Sports, he's going to provide you with a free discounted private travel website that you can use to book your travel needs. Even better, if you become a customer of Joe's, he's going to give you guys a travel voucher that you can use for up to a year and are only responsible for airfare and taxes. Visit attitudeofgratitudellc.com for more information.
Hey guys, this is Keith Ernst from the NFL podcast, I'm Your Football Team. Come check out our weekly football show where we give you our shitty and offensive opinions on everything NFL. We do this often by using the trendy terminology, I'm You. What's that mean? Check out I'm Your Football Team on Chop Sports to find out. Episodes premiere every Thursday. And I'm You if you're ignoring this, by the way. I'm You.
If you're watching us on all the streaming platforms right now, it's chopsports.shop to support your boys, support the brand, support all of our NIL kids that we have. And I was just telling them during the break that, you know, Jack McDaniels, quarterback of Western Alabama, connected with Bebe for a touchdown. And it was a great video. I watched
That's
it.
Awesome.
Those are two of our guys down in Western Alabama. But be sure to support all of the podcasts that are starting to drop T-shirts. Jimmy Palumbo's has 15 variations of his T-shirt. I thought he had a mug. That didn't go up yet?
No.
Did I just really throw you under the bus there?
I really don't care.
But there are mugs now available. So yeah, support Chop Sports. And of course, we thank you for the support. So now it is time to preview the Rams and the Seahawks. But first, we want to also say that this is brought to you by Absolute Eyewear. They are bringing you this segment. If you go see Craig and Johnny right now on Main Street in Woodbridge, and say the key phrase, Chop Sports, or say, you can go ahead and say the Jimmy Palumbo Show, or bring a picture of Jimmy Palumbo. There's so many ways to save at Absolute Eyewear right now. Go check them out. $100 off of any lenses, frames, you name it. They got them all. They got all the brands. They got sports goggles if you want to look like Eric Dickerson when you're playing football this year. Either way, go check them out. They have all the stuff. They'll hook it up. So we start with the Los Angeles Rams, who last year did not win the division. They finished second, but a complete overhaul, you would have to say. When you switch your quarterback, it's a complete overhaul. When Jared Goff was the guy and drafted high and all that stuff, you know what I mean? Like, this is a complete culture change to bring in a seasoned vet like Matt Stafford. I think, honestly, this makes the team immediately better. I think Stafford has been a slinger his whole entire career. And I think that, he finally has a team around him. He never had a team around him. Unless, I don't know if you consider a team when you have Megatron on your team, like that's a player, but this is a unit that he gets to play with.
I think that with McVay being there, I know Caldwell was a decent coach for the Lions, but they fired him. So the only decent coach that they've had, they got rid of. And Stafford's just been in a situation where he's been, I would say, the guy that the team looked to even more so than the head coach as the leader for the past decade. And it's a raw deal. Gladly, for his case, they gave him the benefit that they wouldn't give Megatron, and they actually let him leave town.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, obviously Matthew Stafford is an upgrade over Goff. I do think Goff gets a bad rap a little too much. I think that he is a decent player. He just didn't fit that mold. He's an accurate guy, but just paid way too much money for that team. I think the lateral move as far as money goes, right?
Yeah, Matthew, it was like a $2 million difference.
If anything, they might be saving money.
They are on the back end.
Yeah, so the Rams are in a way better spot now. Matthew Stafford, he has potential, I think, to sneak into the MVP race this year. That's how good he could be in that offense. But them losing their running backs or their running back, Akers, is a big blow.
Yeah, so. Big blow. So according to their running back room, it's Darrell Henderson, Sony Michel. Wow, Jake Funk. That's the guy's name as a third string running back right now. I love it. I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like that's a football name. So Darrell Henderson, Sonny Michel. Do you think that is a formidable enough tandem to kind of run the offense the way they want to run it this year? Or is this like you got to cater now to the backup role?
Now, it's definitely a big downgrade. As far as,
I would agree. Know,
Cam Akers had a potential to be special this season. Mm-hmm. But I'm more so a believer in the scheme than I am the back in this situation. I think that the Rams are just committed to the run. And since the Gurley days, they haven't really had a clear-cut back. I know it's only been a couple years. But they still managed to be one of the better performing teams.
Akers was right there, I think.
Yeah, but...
You know, like he was right to the kind of role this year.
They've been a committee forever. Even with Akers. So the last 2 or 3 years, they've been a committee. And I don't think that I'm pretty sure they're near the tops of the league in terms of rushing yards per season. So even losing Gurley and him tailing off, they really didn't miss a beat. And to me, that says it's more about the scheme than anything. Getting the quarterback that's definitely more of an innovator than Goff is. And with the receivers on the outside, I believe that Tyler Higbee's solid, if not
above
average.
If they want to become some running gun offense where all of a sudden Stafford is going to sling the way he's slung over the course of his career, they do have really good receivers, I believe. You know, Robert Woods is a yards machine. Cooper Kupp is another good not so much a burner over the top, but a good possession receiver. You can rely on him over the middle. He'll go over there and get it. Van Jefferson, definitely a guy.
I think they got DeSean Jackson.
I wasn't done,
too,
but
right?
Yeah. Jefferson, Jackson's listed as a backup, but you know he's going to come in there,
he's their
take the cover
guy
off.
He has a purpose. He's like their
absolutely.
Specialist, we'll say.
Absolutely. And you just said it, John. I was looking at the backup there. But Tyler Higbee, more than serviceable. I think he's come on strong. He came on strong with Jared Goff. You know what I'm saying? So now
he had a down year last year.
He did, but that was Jared Goff. Yeah. I think it has to do with quarterback play.
There was like a 4 or 5 week stretch where from like week 10 on, where he carried a lot of teams in the fantasy playoffs.
He carried me. He's one of them.
When we're looking,
I just remember me and my brother yelling, Higbee!
The Rams offense is above average with potential to be even better than that. I think that they have a chance to be a top unit in the league if everything works out as far as the Matthew Stafford project. But really, looking at the other side of the ball, I think their defense is where they're going to make their bread and butter this
year. You can make the case for a Chase Young on the rise, but if you're talking about pound for pound, best football player in football, it's Aaron Donald. He's just a massive human being. He's a force underneath, inside, outside. Guy plays everywhere on that defensive line. He's an absolute game wrecker. And that's how that defense goes. If you can do what he does on the line, it makes everybody better. I've been saying it for years with the Dallas Cowboys. The only reason why is these corners are as shitty as they are, because a lot of those players are good, they're serviceable, but you become unserviceable if you can't get to the quarterback and you got to cover for 8 seconds. Not going to happen. Yeah, there's not a corner in the league to do that.
Then they have Jalen Ramsey on the outside.
And Jalen Ramsey being one of the better corners in
football.
Without
mentioning anyone else on the roster, just having that Ramsey and Aaron Donald, they're off to a good start because arguably the best players at their position in the league. I think Jair might have something to say about Ramsey being the best corner, but you know, you could take your pick at that point.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Taylor Rapp as well. So, yeah, their defense is stacked, man. They do great pass rush. They stop the run. So if we're going to bring up their schedule, the over-under is 10.5 for the Rams. So I'm going to bring up the schedule on another website because I can't see that for shit because my eyes are bad. Yep, I know. Absolute eyewear. I'm on my way. But their schedule, they're the Sunday night opener, okay, against the Chicago Bears. That's in Los Angeles. So they finally get to open up that building because technically, if you think about it, both them and the Chargers were not able to play in front of a crowd last year in front of their beautiful new stadium. So now they finally get to do that. Sunday night football, they did right by them. But the Rams, to me, have that ability, have the depth to make a run in the NFC. And when I say that, it pains me to say when teams are better than the Cowboys, but here's the obvious thing. There are better teams than the Cowboys. And I think that the Green Bay Packers and the Rams right now are your 1-1-2. I think that it's you know, there's cases to be made about the next team we're going to talk about, the Seahawks, maybe. There's cases to be made about my Dallas Cowboys being, an up-and-coming team. But when you talk about complete teams, you talk about the Packers and you talk about the Rams. So I think when you look at their schedule and they open up, and it's not easy sledding for the beginning. So it depends on how they do off the rip. They got Chicago, which I think is a winnable game if it's Andy Dalton at quarterback, and I don't think they're going to make the switch at halftime. You know what I mean? So I think that's a Andy Dalton unfortunate primetime loss for the Chicago Bears. But then at Indy. Now, what is Indy going to be? I don't know yet because of all the injuries that they've been doing and the COVID stuff. And just look, I'll preface this. Every team is going to go through some kind of COVID travesty. I'm telling you, one of your stars are going to go down. So be prepared for that. I'm going through it in week one. So now hopefully that week one is, and it's the end of that, where Jerry Jones will put him in the Omni in Dallas and never let him leave the premises. And yes, there's an Omni in Dallas, Jimmy. I know if you're listening still. I know there's an Omni in Atlanta, but there's an Omni hotel in Dallas. So at Indy, but then they got to play the champs, and then they got to play the Cardinals. And the Cardinals we talked about yesterday, they have a potential to be either really good or really bad. They're kind of middle of the pack. Then the division games are back-to-back, Seattle, and then they go to New York. I don't know. How do you feel about the Gooch? How do you feel about the whole coming over, West Coast teams coming over to the East? Do you find that to be fair? Like in realistic times, like especially if it's a 1 o'clock game, which I don't think it is, but
yes, they're grown men.
It is a 1 o'clock game.
Go play. It's what's the difference?
But imagine that. But think about that though. Like it's a 1 o'clock game at New York. So technically in their minds, it's 10 in the morning. And that gives a competitive edge to the Giants, I think.
I mean, like I've seen 12 and under Pop Warner teams that 1 week will play at 4, and then the following week they have to play at 7.
So you so what you're saying
football,
is
bro.
So what
you get ready for the game when it's game time.
So
you
what you're
play.
Saying is Pop Warner is just as hard to play as the NFL, right? Like this what is I'm, a bigger
what
deal.
What I'm saying is, deal with it. Go okay. Line up, play, get the proper sleep. You have. Guess what, Dave? They know it now that's going to happen. So prepare. That's
okay.
All. Right. I think it's just that's just the way it works. What are they really going to do? What could they
put it at 4 o'clock, and then it'll be like a 1 o'clock game no matter where you are. That's what you do. That's the solve. That's a pretty easy solve. But anyway, keep going on the schedule. Detroit, Houston, my God. So, I mean, like that's pretty nice. Tennessee, San Fran on Monday Night Football. Then they get the bye week in week 10. So, potentially, before the bye week, they play 10 games. You know, it's tough sledding, but I think they take out Arizona, the Seattle, the New York, the Detroit, the Houston. So that's 5. Maybe if they're like 6-4 at the break, that's a good thing for the Rams. At the worst, they could be 5-5 at the break. But it's tough. I think it gets even, you know, tougher outside the break. You know, right after the break, you got Green Bay. So 10.5 is a relatively high number when you have, in what I said yesterday, is the NFC West is the best division in football. As far as like pound for pound from top to bottom, all the best, all the teams in there are capable of finishing over 500.
Absolutely hate the fact that we got to play them coming off of their bye week.
Yeah.
I hate that. But
it's at Green Bay, if that makes any consolation.
It does. I just hate playing teams coming off of a bye when they're well coached.
It'll be Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call. You could just feel it.
Yeah. that's going to be an annoying game to watch, I would imagine. But I think that I think you're a little pessimistic about the 5-6-4, 5-5.
I think they're going to go 9-0 to start the season.
Holy shit.
I don't know about that.
I really do.
It's Seattle and the San Fran game.
So they dropped their first game against San Francisco?
So Tampa, Seattle, San Fran, you got to imagine they're going to lose at least one of those games, potentially two. The Giants, I think, is a tougher game than people think.
And because of the time.
I remember the Giants played this team real well last year.
Mm-hmm.
I know that doesn't really have much bearing, but it might. You know, the coaches are matching up again, and I think that there's going to be something. They played last year. It was a really tight game.
I don't remember that one. Oh, all right. I know Dallas played the Rams, so maybe
that was one of the games last year where I looked at the Giants, and I was like, they're better than I'm giving them credit for, because even the games that they lose, they're in. They're in every game.
Right.
So, that's why I kind of believe in their coach, but this isn't the Giants preview.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the Rams could probably squeak that out, but I just think that this is a tougher game than you think. 49ers, Tennessee. AJ, you're bugging about 9-0. They're good, but I wouldn't say they're that good.
Yeah, that's I believe they're good, but boy, 9-0. So that means they just handle the champs. They handle the Seattle. I mean, look, I give them they'll get the New York game, Detroit, Houston.
I think it's feasible to be 8-2, 7-3.
See, I was being a little less. Yeah,
I think that I just think less they're a generous. Really good team. Good team.
So 10.5. Where do you have them? I mean, like I said, tomorrow we'll get the real specific numbers of what we think, but over under 10.5. What do you think? What do you got the Rams finishing?
I'm gonna go with 11 and go over. But I do think 11 is kind of the cap because the division is real tough. See how the other teams
Scoop Espo watching
out.
Right now has got him at 10-7 as well. I'm gonna say, I want to say over. I'll give him 11 wins. Yeah, I'll give him 11 wins. I mean, it was tough for me to do it, but I think they ultimately get it done and get the 11
the
and
is
6
like you can't
record.
Look at every tough game as a loss.
No, correct. Good teams find ways to win.
Yeah. So they're going to win a lot of these games that you think they might lose or they have a chance to lose.
AJ, after the 9-0 start, how did the Los Angeles Rams finish?
14-3.
Oh, my God.
This team's that good. Sean McVay's that good of a coach. Matt Stafford's that good of a quarterback. They're going to come back with
14
a fire.
And 3
with a backup tandem running backs.
With a 9-0 start and a 14-3 finish, that means that they're 5-3 in the second half of the season. To me, that's, I guess, good, but it's not. That's average. That's definitely not as great as you think.
I think teams maybe start to figure them out. I'm just going based off of AJ's predictions here, but that's bold. I think 14-3 is very bold. But the 14-3, if I'm not mistaken, what did you give the Packers, AJ?
I think I gave them 11 wins.
Okay, so you got the Rams as the one seed with the bye. Mm-hmm. Unless, I don't know what you gave Tampa.
I think I gave
head.
Tampa 13-4 as well.
Okay, and then you gave the extra complete game to me for whatever reason. Where the Tampa Bay is playing 18 games, by the way. But no, all right, so look, again, you could take them at what we say at 11-6, or they're going to be as dominant as they are and finish 14-3. So that's bold. But anyway, so that's your Rams. That is your 2021 Rams. So now, as we come back on screen here, we now moving on to the Seattle Seahawks. Now, Seattle, to me, no matter what, as long as Pete Carroll is the coach and as long as Russ Wilson is the quarterback, this team will always find a way to win games, right? No matter what you put around them, I think that Russell Wilson is just, you know, what did he call himself last year? Mr. Unlimited?
Mr. Unlimited.
Do you remember that? I don't know if you remember cringe. That at all, but it was just a weird, cringe-worthy thing.
Cringe.
Yeah, he's very cringe, and he's whatever. But the Seahawks, they won a division last year. They hosted the game to the Rams, and I believe they got the job done, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but because I don't remember what I had for lunch yesterday, let alone what the Rams did in the playoffs.
The Rams beat the Seahawks.
Okay,
in the playoffs.
So the Seahawks lost at home last year in the wild card round. So that right there is alarming. You would think that after a loss like that, it's a bounce back type thing. So now when I look over at the Seattle Seahawks, moving on over to the final team that we're going to cover individually, let's see. over. Remember, the one thing they did, their big boom thing this offseason was paying Jamal Adams, and he got paid heavily to be in. He's being considered one of the top safeties in football. Tackling wise, yeah, I think he's probably one of the better tacklers in the league. Coverage wise, I'm not sold on it. But the question is, are the Seahawks going in the wrong direction, Gooch? Like overall, like you have Russ, he's one year older. Yes, you know, Pete Carroll has not really lost his touch per se. He still wins games. Do you feel like they're regressing a little bit, or as long as these two are intact,
when we're talking games about regressing, I just don't think they're improving. They didn't do much to improve. They're a year older. I think in some cases that might be better with a guy like DK, might be a little bit better, year older, having an offseason to work on some of the drop issues that he's had. But they're loaded on offense, and their offensive line has never particularly been good under Pete Carroll and in the Russell Wilson era, what we'll call it. But I don't think the offensive line has been an issue in terms of the team success. So for whatever reason, Russ is able to create magic back there. I do think if there's one area where they might be improved, it is offensive line. I'm just not sold on their defense. I think last year you saw an anomaly out of them from like week 12 on, where their defense started playing well, but it wasn't because of they're actually a good unit. I just think that they ran into some teams that were struggling a bit
before Dak Prescott got hurt. Yeah, that was one of the teams that he lit up, you know, he was throwing them like Cedric Wilson.
Seattle's defense is really bad, and
which is so crazy if you think about it. Like that team used to be molded based off their defense.
It's been a while.
I know it has. Sometimes you think of these things,
especially when you have success, and all those guys were barking for a lot of money. And guess what? You can't all get paid here, motherfuckers. So gonna have to go get it somewhere else.
That's good.
And I'm not going to write this team off, because every time I've ever done it, they win 11 games. So, you know, what is their over under is 10. I'm going to probably go with 11 again.
All right.
Because I just don't see them losing.
Look, here, to me, they do still have some of the better players. Like, their defense is bad, but they still have good players on their defense. Bobby Wagner is still one of the better linebackers in football. They do have Jamal Adams, like I just said. Quandre Diggs is good. Trey Flowers is good. Like, these guys are good. It's just that, I don't know, they couldn't put it together last year for whatever reason. No improvements based off of just the contract, really. You know, the contract for Jamal Adams, now he has to live up to this fat money deal that I don't know if he could. We're going to find out. But all right, let's just do it then. Let's just break it down. Schedule-wise, again, very similar to everybody we've been talking about because of all the same division games. They start off at Indy, in which that game could be, we don't know about Carson Wentz. Sure, is he on pace? Great. Is Quentin Nelson? Like, we're going to find out about all these guys. So if that's a healthy Indy team, that's not an easy place to play. Indianapolis is a good team when everybody's there. Then Tennessee, Minnesota, San Francisco. Then they got their first game with the Rams. They have, a first-place schedule, so that's why they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers on their schedule. New Orleans on Monday night. So, look, then they play, you know, they're also later in the year, November, they're going to Green Bay. So they do have a tough schedule. However, I will say,
they kind of round out the season with a little break.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say.
You got the Rams in there in the final
and Chicago, and that'll be Justin Fields' team.
Yeah, so yeah, you get, I get that part of it. We'll see. But by then, Chicago would just be a complete mess. We don't know.
This is very true. We don't know what they're going to look like at the end, but
I
do know.
Arizona, but I think that Kingsbury is just not good. So we talked about Arizona yesterday, and I don't think that they're going to be much by January. I can't believe January 9th is regular season.
That's awesome. Is the Super Bowl like still on par for like the first week, or is it President's Day weekend now?
No, they move it back.
Is it President's Day weekend? Can you imagine having off? Well, I mean, we're not off, but like, you know what I mean? Like bank holiday off? I've been saying that for years.
I haven't done anything on the day after the Super Bowl, maybe in my life. I haven't gone to school ever. That was just a holiday in my house. It's like
it should be a holiday.
I'm not going to school.
How come none of these presidents want to run on that? You know how many votes you get on just that alone? Making that a national holiday? You know, saying like, hey, by the way, folks, you don't have to go to school or work or send mail or anything on the day after Super Bowl because of that. But I typically don't get like, no matter who's in it, I'm not like one of these like, I got to get hammered for the Super Bowl. I'm not that kind of guy. I want to watch the game. Yeah. You know, I want to remember it.
I don't typically want to ever get hammered. Sometimes it just happens.
So anyway, so you got the 10 wins for the Seattle Seahawks over under. Again, one of these Vegas things where they decide why not, make it a solid number, which is ridiculous. But yeah, so 10, what do you think? You're taking the over?
I said 11, but I'm not going to say 11 because they just I can't pick 11 for all three teams in
the
NFC division.
West. I'm telling you, man. So it's good.
I'll just go 10. There's a chance that three teams can win 10 games, though.
Okay. It's very true. Very possible. Very possible. I'm going to say because, again, the Russ factor and the Pete Carroll factor, I'll give them 11. So that's them, the Rams, all with 11. And I think I took the under for the Niners, and then I took Arizona. I gave them a little more credit, but I think it's going to come down to Seattle and the Rams, and I think ultimately the Rams will win this division. So that's that. I mean AJ, what do you got, bro?
Hawks, I got at 10-7.
Okay, 10 wins. So they don't win the division. You got the Rams basically running away with it. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So that's the Rams. I mean, that's the Seahawks. I mean, that's the NFC West. That's the NFL, folks. We have made it. We have made it through all 32 teams. If you want to catch up on your team, they are listed in the descriptions. Go back and listen to them. If you want to hear us break down about your team, your season predictions, projections, roster moves, all that good shit, we covered every single team in the NFL. And then we will do what we do, where we're gonna get out of here today. We're gonna go week by week. Me, Chris, and of course AJ are gonna go week by week. We're gonna get you some accurate standings, predictions, division winners, playoff matchups, playoff wins, and who will be representing who in the Super Bowl this year. So we're excited about that. A very, very big show lined up for tomorrow. A very, very big show lined up for pretty much every day after Thursday. You know, once that game starts and the NFL season is up and running, it's going to be very, very busy here at Chop Sports, and this is where we're gonna really take things to the next level. So that is your Seattle Seahawks. That is your 32 teams in 27 days or whatever we wind up doing it. And, of course, that is your Chop Sports Daily Show. So for Sturch and Gooch and, of course, AJ Behind the Glass, who has been producing all of these graphics and switching them over. Great job, AJ. Of course, you made the show function today. We'll get the mic situation looked at least, because I think somebody chimed in about the mic issue. Yeah. And we'll figure it out. But thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Big show.
Peace. Good luck at your job, Ash.
Good luck, Ash.
Is that the cold close? Okay.